Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers know they'll be raised at the return of Jesus, and that all who've ever believed will reign with him for the ages to come. Today, a look at the end game of the glory of God. What's ahead after all is said and done? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Now, Erwin Lutzer comes to talk with us about God's glory and our glorification.
Have you ever asked yourself what God is doing in this world? How is it all going to end, and where is history going, and where are you going as a part of this history? There are many people today who believe that all that we have is individual stories. I have my story, you have your story. There's this incident over here, there's this incident over there, but there is no coherence. There is no big story, no meta-narrative, as some people say. To illustrate it, possibly this will work. Let us suppose that you were given a puzzle with 100,000 different pieces, but there was no picture on the box. So you didn't even know where to begin to put it all together and make sense out of the total picture. Can you imagine living your life that way? You have this piece and that piece, but you have no coherence, nothing that puts it all together, because you don't know the picture on the box. Perhaps another illustration will help us. Here's a person who is asked to make some cloth. Another person is asked to take the cloth and to sew some curtains. Somebody else is making bricks. Somebody else is making lamps and furniture. But they don't know how it's going to be used. So all that they can do is to do what is before them. But there's no picture on the box. How different it would be if, instead of those individual experiences, what if they all knew that they were contributing to a huge and beautiful cathedral? That would give more meaning to what they were doing, because they would see the whole. They'd find the picture on the box. In the Bible, we have that picture. Of course, everything ultimately comes down to the glory of God. This is the last in a series of messages entitled, Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Once you experience the glory of God and you begin to live for His glory, what other people think, you will not be in bondage to their opinions. You will discover that your life is simplified. And I hope that for the rest of your life, as I've been admonishing you, when you wake up in the morning, you will always pray and say, Oh God, today glorify yourself in my life at my expense. And if you ever wonder how you can glorify God, I'm going to be giving you two scripture references. I'm pausing now because I want you to take your pen or pencil, no matter where you are listening, and write down these references. Then I want you to type out the verses and put them on your refrigerator or the dashboard of the car or somewhere where you see them so that you never forget how you can glorify God. The first one is Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. You want to know how to glorify God? You begin to praise Him. And then there's another one, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Two ways that you can always glorify God. One way is to praise Him. The second way is to trust Him. Both contribute to God's glory. But now as we move on today, I'm going to speak to you on the topic how our own glorification glorifies God. And what a stretch that is going to be. but everything that I present to you today is biblical. I'm going to be quoting a number of verses. This is actually a topical message because there is no one place in the Bible where this is explained. There's this verse here and then the verse over there. And we're going to put some of them together and talk about your personal glorification. If you know Christ as Savior, this is going to be a tremendous encouragement. If you don't know Christ, just know that at the end, I'll take time to explain how you can get in on the unbelievable, mind-boggling blessings that await those who have trusted Christ as Savior. Thanks for joining me on this journey. On two or three occasions, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to a passage. I could quote the passage or read it for you, but the reason I don't is because unless you see it in the Bible, you might not believe it's there. It is so overwhelming that you need to have this riveted in your mind. If you take the Bible that is there in the seat in front of you, I may even give you the page number on two or three occasions. You've got to see this. We begin today with the 17th chapter of the book of John, John chapter 17, a very famous passage of Scripture, and Jesus is praying to the Father. He prays for the disciples, and then beginning in verse 20, he prays for all of us. And now notice, and it is on page 903, notice what the text says, John 17, verse 22. You won't believe it unless you see it. And the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Jesus, are you saying that? The glory you have given me, I've given to them that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. And Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am to see my glory. And then he goes on to say, because you've loved them even as you've loved me from before the foundation of the world. Today I want only the phrase, the glory which you've given me, I've given to them. The Bible talks about the fact that for believers there will be an eventual glorification. Now imagine that you have gone to heaven, and also imagine that the resurrection of the body has taken place. Those who are in heaven today, they do not have their permanent bodies. Their soul is taking on the characteristics of the body so that they can communicate and so forth, but they are not totally complete. But let us suppose that you are in heaven and the resurrection of the body has taken place. What will that be like? What will that glorification be like? And at the end of the message, I'll explain how your glorification glorifies God. First of all, the glorification of the soul. The glorification of the soul. When I speak of the soul, I want you to think of your mind. The glorification of your mind or your soul. Perfectly glorified. It'll be glorified because of what it knows. Our knowledge in heaven is not going to be complete. It's not as if we are God, nothing like that. But everything that we know in heaven will be accurate. The Bible says we will know even as we are known. We'll know a whole lot more than we do today, and everything will be accurate and complete in itself, though undoubtedly we'll go on learning throughout all of eternity. Kids in heaven, no homework, even if your teacher should happen to be there. We'll be glorified because of what we know. We'll also be glorified because of what we experience. Now, here I'm talking about the moral purity and glorification of the soul. You know, the Bible says that in Jesus Christ, we are made perfect legally. That's how come we go to heaven when we die. We're welcomed into heaven as if we are Jesus, because his righteousness is credited to us. But in heaven, that righteousness now becomes ours by experience. Let me give you a few reminders found in Scripture. For example, at the end of the service, I frequently quote the last verses of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, or our translation says blameless, into the presence of the Lord. Imagine being faultless or blameless. Nobody can lay anything to your account. You cannot be accused. You cannot be censured. You are there and you are completely blameless. You remember in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, the Bible says that husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. And then it goes on to say how he loved the church through the washing of water by the word, that he may present the church to himself. What an interesting phrase, the church being presented to Jesus. The one who purified the church, died for the church, is being presented now with the church. But notice, without spot, without wrinkle, that she may be holy and blameless and without blemish. Have you had some wrinkles this past week? Maybe in your body, maybe also in your mind. Maybe you live with someone who isn't perfect, and your perfection is rubbing up against their imperfection. And you're finding it very difficult. It's a strain on your perfection, to be sure. Imagine being holy and blameless in his sight. We could use some positive words too. We could say clean, pure, transparent. Imagine it. Johnny Erickson Tada, who, as you know, is a quadriplegic, who has led many of us into understanding suffering biblically in wonderful ways, says that what she looks forward to in heaven is not just parking her wheelchair at the door, though thank God she'll be able to do that. And it's not just the ability of running toward Jesus and then falling at his feet, though she looks forward to that too. She says what she looks forward to is such purity of mind that never would any sin ever come between her and the unmediated fellowship and presence of God. See, today everything that we have in worship is mediated. It's mediated through Jesus. But in the end, walking with God without a single hint or tint of sin. Now, in order for us to get a handle on this, let me ask you a question today. It's just you and me. How would you like it if all of the thoughts of your mind were perfectly and completely known to your spouse, to your friends, to your parents, and to your children? How would you like that? Or, you're laughing, I know, we'll take you first. Or have them all on a screen. How would you like that? We'd all be so ashamed. We couldn't stand the shame. We'd all want to live on a desert island somewhere. My dear friend, imagine being in the presence of God with our thoughts so pure, so clean, so transparent that God can see all of them and all of our friends can see all of them. Never any embarrassment, never any shame, never any regret, never anything inappropriate. Just one thought after another that is holy and totally acceptable to God. Imagine it. Say amen, somebody. Isn't that great? Won't that be great? Amen. All right, now, think of it. That's the glorification of the soul. Now, let's talk about the glorification of the body. Your body is important. It is not true, scripturally, that all that our body does is sort of a prison of the soul. So you get rid of the body so that the soul can go to God. You are a body that is ensouled. And you are a unit. That's why God is going to raise you from the dead. Now, you think of the resurrection of Jesus. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I asked you to turn to the 17th chapter of John, because I feared that if you didn't see that verse, you might think that it's not in the Bible. I'm going to ask you to turn to another one. And this is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Actually, I'm finding it also along with you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 29. Excuse me, verse 20. Philippians 3, 20, page 982. But if our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body. And right now it is lowly, isn't it? Like a doctor said to one of his patients, if you were a building, you'd be condemned, he said. He will transform our lowly body to be like his. Are you saying that this is true? That God is going to transform our lowly body? Soon morphe is the Greek word, like unto his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Imagine that. Your body is going to be transformed like unto his glorious body. Now let's clarify something. In heaven, you are not going to be a spirit. You're not going to be a spirit. You're not going to be a spirit. You're going to actually have a body. Jesus said to his disciples, handle me, because a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. He had flesh and bones, and Thomas saw the nail prints in his hands, and they were able to touch him. So we're not going to be spirits. We're not going to be angels. We'll have physical bodies, but those bodies will be raised so that they will be like unto his glorious body. Now we think immediately of the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus Christ's glory was veiled, and we think of the fact, will our glory be to that extent? I'm not sure, but this much I know, the body we are going to have is going to be absolutely glorious. It'll be a glorious body. Redemption, body, soul, and spirit, totally redeemed. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it is sown a perishable body, it is raised imperishable. He says it is sown in weakness, and it is raised with strength. And that's why we bury bodies. They are like a seed in the ground. Yes, it is true that they disintegrate, but in the end, God sovereignly puts them together, and we shall have a body that is fit for eternity. This body is fit for this life, but we're getting one that is going to be fit for eternity. Will we ever have perfect health care? The answer is yes, but not in our lifetime. We're going to have to wait for that. Imagine. Never any pain, never any problem with the body. Eternal. 10,000 years, and you don't look a bit older. It's coming, folks. So we have the glorification of the soul, the glorification of the body. And why such a beautiful body, a glorious body, like unto Jesus Christ's body, with all of its power, his ability to go from one part of the land to the other, go through doors, different molecular structure, all the rest. Why? Because we'll be fitted for a different environment. We're talking now about heaven. Now, here's a theological concept you need to grasp. Let's think of Adam and Eve there in the garden. As we contemplate them, what was unique about their situation is that there was no, what shall we say, there was complete harmony. Harmony between them and nature, harmony between the man and his wife before the fall, harmony within the man's own heart. There was no civil war going on in him like there is in some of you today. Nothing but peace, nothing but shalom, peace, happiness. Now, as a result, of course, of the fall, you know what happened. Man fell. But the minute man fell, all of creation, the Bible says, was cursed. It was cursed because there could be no such thing as an imperfect, sinful, cursed man living in a beautiful, uncursed, pure, holy environment. And everything was cursed. And so you have earthquakes and tornadoes, and you have all kinds of other things happening in nature. Now, here's what it says in the book of Romans. I won't ask you to turn to it, But it is there, and you need to find it on your own at another time. Eighth chapter of Romans. There what we discover is, I think it's in verse 31, where it says that the creation fell after man fell. Man falls, creation falls. And now the whole creation, Paul says, is waiting on tiptoe, as one translation puts it. Eagerly waiting the redemption of our bodies as sons. We read it in our scripture reading today. Eagerly waiting for that so that then it can be redeemed too. Yes, my friend, isn't it wonderful that creation itself is waiting for our glorification? It cannot be glorified. It cannot be restored to its original condition of beauty and holiness until we are glorified. And when we are glorified, creation will follow. And in the midst of that glorification, we are able to bring glory and honor to God. Well, we're really coming to the end of the series of messages titled, Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Let me also encourage you to visit our website where there are many resources that are available. Furthermore, thanks to the many of you who pray for us, thanks for those who support us, because we are constantly in need of your benediction, your blessing, your encouragement, and help. So from my heart to yours today, I hope that you have a blessed day. And again, if I might say it, I hope that you wake up in the morning saying, Lord, today, glorify yourself in my life at my expense, because nothing else really does matter. Right here on Running to Win, you can constantly hear God's word proclaimed. Thanks again for joining us. I hope that you have a good day all day. Walk in obedience and bring glory to our matchless Savior. See you right here next time.
Let's see. What is the most important thing in the world?
It's memorable, and being memorable matters. That's what matters most at these things.
But what matters most to me as president is getting our economy on a sounder footing more broadly.
Maybe the most important thing in the world is water. Maybe the most important thing in the world is the earth itself.
Are we going to continue to spend all of our time worrying about all the stuff that's going on? Or are we going to start focusing on the things that matter most? And that's our family and our close friends.
I leaned back in my chair and I just looked up to heaven and these words came out. Oh God, at last I get it. Nothing matters except your glory.
Nothing Else Matters, a game-changing series that upends all the idols we have set up as being truly important. 9 messages probing how the glory of God gives meaning to every area of life.
Nothing else really matters. Doesn't matter whether or not you get all your prayers answered. All of the pettiness of life, all of the gossip of life, all that is washed away because nothing else matters.
Learn how God's glory impacts your church, your lifestyle, even your sexuality. Nothing Else Matters will be sent to you on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, you can reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. We can't comprehend the transformation that awaits us. With glorified bodies, we'll see all of creation reborn in a cosmic chorus of praise, shouting glory to the God who redeemed us. Next time on Running to Win, the transcendent finale to the symphony of God's glory, the end of time and the beginning of a radiant eternity. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.